Right about here, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
Hey, show the cards.
Somebody's gonna get them, and somebody's gonna get them put.
Hey, boy! Hey, boy!
It's a very, very personal meeting.
Oh! And what the hell kind of description is that?
This man will make your bladder splatter.
You ain't nothing, okay?
Does go well with it.
Damn shame how they screwed up your show. Nice little program. Not that I ever watched it.
Yes.
Greetings, everybody. My name is Jim Shear, and today, Yin's Love, Season 5, Episode 10 of Breaking Bad, titled Buried. And helping me break it down this week is author Adam Lance Garcia. Welcome, Adam.
Welcome, Dad. Thank you.
And we make this happen tonight because last cycle, I said, "Ooh, Adam, I like your breakdowns every week. I think I need you to be on the podcast."
Those were my favorite luncheons when you would sit there until everyone left, just kind of talking.
And we would talk for a long time. So we're going to try to keep it tight today, maybe 30 to 40 minutes if we can do that.
I think I can do that.
Okay. So we've got the time clock running right now. What we do every week, we will give everybody the recap in case they listen to this podcast 5 years from now and they're just getting into Breaking Bad and they're like, what are they talking about? So it's season 5, episode 10, Buried. It begins with Jesse going round and round on the merry-go-round. And I guess eventually someone calls the police.
Well, I think an important thing to note is that the camera is pivoting with Jesse. The whole show pivots around Jesse, and that's going to be important later on.
Oh, okay. See, this man, he takes his media seriously. His TV, his movies, his books, his writing. So I don't know if the old man keeps the money. Maybe the old man is the one that calls the police. It'd be sad if the old man gave his money back, because he seemed very excited when he found that first stack.
He needed the money.
So then, then we have Walt leaving the garage. Everyone was wondering how that would end. We didn't see how it actually ended, but we saw the garage door come up. Walt gets into his car, and as soon as he gets into his car, he panics. He's like, "Oh, I'm going to get on the phone." He calls Skyler. It turns out that Hank also calls Skyler, and they arrange a meeting in a luncheonette or a diner, whatever you're liking. And I thought Skyler played this perfectly. What do you think?
I think this is, we really get to see that Skyler's not as corrupted by Walt's actions as much as Walt has been corrupted by himself. I think that's where we really start to see it, that she is as bad, or if not worse, that comes in the scene.
She's pretty good at the game, huh?
Yeah, she is. She's getting there, and I think. Well, I'll let you go on because I can go on a little bit further. Let's finish the recap, and then I'll start analyzing.
Okay, and I also want to get back to this scene because I thought Hank. I mean, he usually plays a good game. He did not bring his A game in the luncheonette.
Did not. I think that has a lot to do with the situation. I mean, when you find out your brother-in-law is basically the biggest criminal kingpin that you've been hunting down for a year, yeah, that would be absurd.
You know, coaches in baseball and in football, they say you need to be mentally tough. And Hank was not mentally tough in this scene. So Walt knows that he needs to get rid of the money. Probably the funniest moment of the episode, you have Huel and Kubi, and Huel says, I got to do it. And that big that big dude just lays down on the money. And I love what Kubi says. He says, "We're here to do a job, not channel Scrooge McDuck." And then he's like, "Well, what the hell? I'm going to lay on it too." And then Huel says, "Mexico. That's all I'm saying." And then Kubi says, and this plays to Walter White now. He says, 10 guys in 2 minutes. That's all I'm saying." So Walt has a reputation on the streets now. Keep that in mind. Then we have Saul and Walt. Saul says, maybe Hank should take a trip to Belize, where Mike went. This is what I want to ask you this now, in the midst of the recap. Mm. How does Saul know that Mike is dead?
You know, I was wondering that as well, and I think it's just, as he said, hearsay. I think that if Mike was still alive, there would have been communication between him and Saul and Mike and Jesse, and I think it's the same reason, how does Jesse know that Mike is dead? And I might just need misremembering it, but I think it's just one of those things that Mike is such a presence that is felt throughout this whole Breaking Bad universe, that his absence is felt just as much.
Really?
You know, the moment he, I think so.
Because this is my thought process behind it is, Mike is so good at everything he does, so when Mike leaves, Mike leaves. You're never going to hear from him again. So that's how I would feel if I'm working with Mike on the streets.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think what's the idea is that even if he would be gone, and he would probably be out of the loop, but you would know, he would still have some sort of machinations. There would be some sort of something that would let these characters know that he's still around. I mean, the mere fact that, you know, he can make calls and have all these things happen, the fact that you don't see that, I think that's a big, you know, signpost for Saul.
Well, because on last week's episode of this Yin's Love podcast, I said that Jesse was the one who initiated it in last cycle. He came to Vamanos Pest and he says, Mr. White, what are we going to do about this? Mike's gone. His guys are going to snitch now. So he's the one who initiated it. And then the final scene of last cycle, Walt and Jesse seem to, you know, not hate each other. They, you know, they talk about the Winnebago and everything, and Jesse didn't seem too affected then. So why is he so affected now?
Remind me, and it's been a while since I watched it. Isn't that he drops off the money and then he closes the door and Jesse collapses behind the chair behind the door?
Yes.
Well, I think honestly, the entire time since I got watching that sequence, and even now, Jesse is terrified of Walt because he knows what he's capable of. The way I read that scene is that Jesse is absolutely terrified, and he honestly thinks that there's a bomb, there's something terrible inside that those bags. So when he opens it up, and it's just money, he collapses in relief that it's not something that will kill him.
I buy that, but when he initiated the whole thing at Vamanos Pest, saying, we need to get rid of these snitches.
Mm-hmm.
And also, too, everyone knows that Mike's money has been gone, so everyone assumes now that the 10 guys or whatever will snitch. So I don't think anyone would hold it. I don't think Mike would hold it against Walt if Mike were still alive, if he's somehow off these 10 guys.
But I don't know. Okay, that's a good point. But we're digressing from the recap. We can revisit this later. All right.
All right. So we have Saul and Walt in the beautiful lawyer's office there. Trip to Belize. He says where Mike went, and then Walt says, "No, I don't do that to family." And my favorite line of the whole episode is when Walt says, "Send him to Belize. I'll send you to Belize."
I think some levity there. It's some levity, but also I think it's a great moment, and you see the twisted morality that, you know, is in play between Walt and Hank. In the last episode, Hank says, "Do you think I give a damn about family?" And Walt, despite every terrible thing he's done, and he's done more terrible things than you can really redeem him for, he still will not cross that line on killing his own family member. And I think it's a twist of morality, but it's going to play a big part in it. And I'll go into more what I think about that when we do in speculation on what's going to happen. But let's continue with the recap.
I like how you're sticking very true to this recap. Say with the we see the barrel full of the barrels full of money. And Walt says the only thing he can say, close enough. Because he knew Kubi and Huell probably skimmed off the top. And I love the shot of them kind of looking at each other and like, eh, okay, we might have took a stack or two. So Walt takes off with the money in a van. And then we have Skyler versus Marie. This season of Breaking Bad is coming off like a main event every week. We always have these matchups. Skyler versus Marie right now. Marie's like, come on, tell me Hank's crazy. And once again, Skyler doesn't say anything. And at the end, she actually says, I'm sorry. And then I found out on Talking Bad that it wasn't a real slap, but it looked like Marie actually slapped Skyler pretty damn hard.
Yeah, the sound effects were amazing. But I think what's really powerful about that scene is how much they use silence and how effective they use the silence of how Skyler not saying anything speaks more volume than anything she could say. And it's also very true to life situation when someone approaches you and you realize you've done something wrong. It's hard to admit to that. And I think that scene in particular was incredibly powerful. And it's completely, again, it's another one of the situations where it shifts the dynamic of the series from being about Walter and trying to make things right for his family to really being about Hank and Marie about trying to do what's right.
Yeah.
At least in part.
Because she's like, it was when you were in the swimming pool, right? Oh, it was with Gus Fring, right? Oh, no, you didn't know when Hank got... Oh, no! So, Marie, she goes into the living room. She tries to kidnap Holly. And then finally Hank comes in. He's like, you can't do that. For good reason, too.
Yeah.
So Skyler gets Holly back. So Walt buries the money. And when I first saw this scene, I thought to myself, you're really going to do that? You're going to dig a big hole in the desert and bury all of these? And he does. It takes them all day. And I also like that Walt, after all of these seasons, finally learns how to roll a barrel. Because you may remember, I think it was in season one or season two, when Jesse and Walt stole the methylamine, they were carrying it end to end. And then when Hank saw the video, he was like, oh, rookies, you roll that barrel. So Walt rolls all of the barrels of money into the hole.
We actually see how it feels to be rolling inside that barrel.
We also get to see what it's like when an iPhone breaks from the iPhone's perspective.
True.
What else did I have to say? Oh, this is an insider nugget. It was very cold when Walt did this scene. And he played it off like it was very hot outside, because it usually is very hot outside in a desert. So I saw that on the making of this episode of Breaking Bad. So Walt remembers the coordinates of where this money was hidden, and where does he hide the coordinates? On a lotto ticket on the refrigerator. And then we have Declan returns. Declan looks a little bit different this time around. Do you agree?
A little different, yeah. It's been a while since we've seen him.
Yeah, so Declan shows off his lab to Lydia. She's not impressed. And then who comes back? Todd and his uncle. And his uncle's buddies, and they off Declan's guys. And Lydia said, listen, when Todd was cooking, he got 74%. And then Declan said, yeah, but he started a fire on his third cook.
Todd is a pretty terrifying character. I think I'm kind of curious to see how he's what role he's going to play in the finale, because he's been a very large presence this season, but in a very subtle way.
Mm-hmm.
He's very quiet. He is one of the most dangerous characters in the series, but he has the boyish face of Jesse Plemons. So you never know what he's going to do. You want to give him a hug and be your friend because you remember him from Friday Night Lights. And, hey, the restaurant was back in Arlen, Texas. But, you know, there he is with a gun. So.
But he was a gentleman.
He was a gentleman.
The way he led Lydia out of that underground bus and through the dead bodies and said, hey, just don't look at him. And he takes her off into the sunset. And his uncle's like, really? And he's like, come on, Uncle Jack, come on. Then we have Hank and Marie, and Hank says what we have been saying for years and years and years. If he goes to the DEA and turns over Walt, it's over for him. He has no job. He has no career. And that's what we've been saying since season one. If Hank ever turns in Walt, he's done. And then Marie chimes and she's like, well, listen, if we sit on this and then they catch Walt, then we could go to jail. So there's a conflict there. And then the episode ends, and I thought we might get a little treat like we got last week.
Before you go into that, so we have to mention the fact that Marie tells him you have to go in and you have to get people to the DEA to work with you. And then the next scene is Hank going into the DEA implying he's taken Marie's advice, which is also an important shift. For most of the series, he's not. As much as he loves Marie, he doesn't really take her seriously. And it looks like for the first time in the way the story has shifted, he is taking her advice, and he's taking her advice very seriously.
Okay. I mean, everything's on the line right now.
Exactly. So
this is a very important decision for Hank. And then the season ends with Hank about to face off with Jesse. It happened around 10 o'clock. Same time last week. Walt and Hank were at each other, and I said, okay, we're gonna wait for this until next week. And no, they gave us the Hank versus Walt. They did not give us the Hank versus Jesse this week because they gave an extra long preview of Low Winter Sun, and then Breaking Bad ended at 10:04, and we have to wait until next week.
It's a rough cliffhanger, I'll tell you that much.
I know. I just wanted him to say hey and Jesse to look up, and then give us the credits, but we will have to wait until next week to see that. All right, Adam, I'm going to let you loose. The recap is now officially done.
It's a good recap. I'm ingesting it right now. Okay. I think the biggest thing is, you know, going back to something a little bit earlier, how the story, you know, this last two episodes have been a dramatic shift in terms of the story of Breaking Bad. A lot of things that we expected to happen. One thing that Breaking Bad does very well is that it defies your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
It's especially not so much in like what happens, but when things are going to happen. One of the biggest examples was when the twins attacked Hank in the parking lot. You expected that to be a season finale.
Mm-hmm.
Plot point. It happens mid-episode, and you cannot look away. A lot of TV shows are really good at bringing those moments at the end of an episode, cut to black, you have a moment to breathe, but Breaking Bad did that mid-episode, and there was no turning back, and that is very much what they're doing this season. You expected Hank to figure it out maybe three or four episodes before the end of the mm-hmm. series. He finds out mid-season. The confrontation between Hank and Walt, you again expect to be one or two episodes before the end of the season. It happened the very first episode we're back from the hiatus.
Yep.
And then again with Marie and Skylar, you expect that moment to happen like maybe not even until like a coda at the end of the series.
Wow.
And it happened in the second episode, and it's intense and it's emotional, and it also signifies, like I was saying before, a dramatic shift in the series. I think when you started the series, when you started well, not so much a dramatic shift, but it's the first time it's become real. When we started this series, it was about Walt. Walt was your hero. You were supporting him. And Hank was the biggest prick in the world. And you knew that they were going to come to blows. And when he starts cooking meth and you assume, you know that the Hank-Walt confrontation is going to happen, you are initially rooting for Walt.
Mm-hmm.
And as the series progressed, their layers, the characters have grown a lot more layers, have become a lot more dynamic. And what's happened is Walt has become the antagonist. As Vince Gilligan has stated again and again, was his intention, Walt is the nemesis of the series. And Hank is arguably the protagonist of the series. And I think it becomes more and more defined in these final episodes when he is the only person basically who is morally sound. Him and Marie are the only two characters who are legitimately morally sound throughout most of the series.
Now, it's interesting that you brought that up because after this episode, to me, and I know it's not true, but the way that they played off the scene with Skyler and Hank in the diner, Hank almost comes off as a bad guy. And Walt almost comes off as a good guy. He's like,
yeah,
just turn me in. He's like, I just want the money for the kids. That's all I ever wanted. And if they don't get the money, then all of this, it wasn't worth it. So I was, at the end of the episode, I'm like, I know Walt's not the good guy, but he feels like the good guy right now.
In that moment, yes, he does. And what we kind of have to remember is Walt is a natural liar. It's everything he does is a lie. But he lies to himself. Yes, initially it was about that. It was his motivation to do it for the family. The problem is that that doesn't take away all the terrible things he's done in between and the immoral things he's done that completely went away from his original motivation. The fact that he became the one who knocks, and that wasn't a moment of him saying, I'm the one who knocks, so the family's okay. If I'm the one who knocks, and you should be afraid of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing. So even though, yes, it is for the kids, and that is true, and in that scene with in the diner, I don't think Hank comes off as a villain. I see him as coming off as desperate. Because this whole thing is at once a career-defining moment. It's a career-destroying moment.
I get all that.
Betrayal. Yeah.
Now, I'm a fan of professional wrestling. So when you're pushing a babyface, you want them to be the best guy possible. So when Hank goes into the diner and then he pulled out his recorder, that felt icky to me. And then when he grabbed Skyler's forearm, I thought, no, this isn't how you sell a babyface. So is Vince Gilligan and crew trying to do something to us? They trying to make maybe Hank more of a heel or look like a heel and Walt more of a bad guy? And then, this is just me watching the episode, when I saw Uncle Jack, that is Todd's uncle, mm-hmm. you know, with the swastikas on his neck, I thought,
yeah,
that's the bad guy, or that's a classic bad guy. And then in my head, I'm thinking, maybe the machine gun in the Denny's parking lot, maybe it's for Uncle Jack.
I was thinking that too, and that's what I was saying I would talk about a little later. You know, I think something's going to happen. I'm not sure. I hope Hank survives, because I've actually come to like the character quite a bit. But I just don't think that Walter is going to be the one that kills him, and that could be completely wrong. I don't think he's the one that's going to kill him, because he has that line in the sand of not hurting family. I kind of feel like that the end of the series might have something to do with Uncle Jack and Todd, something. And this actually would be nice in some ways if there's a redemptive arc in that
mm-hmm.
that Walter is rescuing Jesse, is rescuing Hank from this new meth maker that's in Todd. That would be a very good redemptive arc. I just don't think that is what the show's about. It's never been about redemption. Though I would like to see that, because I feel like it would be hard to watch 5 seasons worth of a man's long journey into night. It would be difficult to watch it and know that the last Walter is alive. Because I read a very interesting article saying that it doesn't matter how Walt dies, we all know he's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he does, if he survives, if he doesn't die, it would be hard to watch him die a villain.
I mean, he might be, because for the long time, I'm going to go back to my professional wrestling references. For the longest time, Rowdy Roddy Piper was the baddest of the bad dudes. And when he retired for the first time in WrestleMania 3, he went out as one of the greatest baby faces of all time. So maybe that's what will happen in Breaking Bad. We shall see. So another thing.
Never know. Yes.
I wanted to ask you about, dig deeper, Skyler.
Yeah, I feel like there was another article I didn't get to read in time for tonight's podcast, but I did read the headline where is the story really about the heroine Skyler? And I just looked at it and I said, no, it's not. You know, they were like, Breaking Bad is about the anti-hero of Walt.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Skyler has become the anti-heroine for a very long time. For I think the very first season and a half, Skyler was very much an empathetic character. You're very sympathetic, empathetic to what she was going through. And then she cheated on Walt, and you started losing respect for her, and started losing your sympathy for her. Then I think once she started taking part in Walt's business, I really think that she, while not as dark and not as a murderer, I think she has been corrupted by Walter as much as he's been by himself. Like I mentioned earlier, I think that there's a lot of people who don't like Skyler. I don't like Skyler less because of her being so passive, because she's been very aggressive these last couple of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like her because I think that she believes she's on a moral high ground that she does not actually own.
Okay. I thought she played it brilliantly, though, with Hank, like I said earlier.
Oh, yes.
Because Hank came in and showed his hand right away. He said, I'm desperate. And the longer Skyler sits there, she's like, Hank doesn't have anything.
Yep.
So I'm just going to be quiet. And the more frantic Hank got, the more justified it seemed Skyler was. And like, listen, you're crazy. I need a lawyer. And like I said, I thought it was creepy when he pulled out the recorder and basically made her a witness. It's like, come on, dude, this is your sister-in-law. Show some compassion here, bro. And
yeah,
when he grabbed her arm, and then I'm like, oh, that's it, Hank, you blew it.
Yeah, he did blow it, and I think it does come from a point of desperation. But even so, yes, she gets wise to him pretty quickly, and her suggestion to Walt, I guess if there was a way of her, in that moment when she suggests to Walt and says, stay quiet, this might blow over, she loses that moral high ground. You know, Walter, in that one moment, in that very, very weak moment, in the very,
mm-hmm.
he says, please, just, I'll turn myself in, let this all not be for naught. And again, like you were saying, you feel bad for Walt, and you can empathize with him in that moment. It's the Walter that we knew in that first episode. But Skyler turns him away from any arguable redemption in that moment by saying, no, stay quiet, keep the money. And screw over Hank, which takes away her apology to Marie. I mean, even though she is sorry, the fact if she really was as apologetic as she was claiming to be, she would have...
But maybe she's thinking about the kids, too.
She is.
Because if Walt's going to die in 6 months, the kids are going to need money for college. They're going to need trust funds. And I thought that she's like, oh, so the cancer's back? And Walt said, does that make you happy? And then Skyler doesn't say, yes, I wished it upon you. I'm glad it's back. Skyler said, well, I haven't been happy in a while. So she didn't say, no, Walt, come on, I love you, but that's the closest you're going to get to an I love you between Walt and Skyler. And it felt kind of like an I love you.
To me. Yeah, a little bit. I'll agree with you there. Like, it is a moment. I think what speaks more to the I love you is her sitting by him when he and giving him a pillow, putting a blanket on him, and sitting by his side, mopping his brow.
Yeah.
That says I love you.
Yes.
Yeah,
stand says I love you by your man. They should have had a montage with Stand By Your Man. No, wait, what did
exactly.
you say? What did you say while I was singing?
I could get you to not sing again.
No, because Breaking Bad is so fan friendly, when Skyler was trying to figure out how Hank knew, Walt said, I screwed up. And I wanted Walt to say, I screwed up, blah, 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 blah. That's why I left Leaves of Grass on the toilet. Did you want that, or you didn't need that?
No, and I was actually thinking a similar line of thought when I was rewatching the episode again. there, and it'll make sense in a second. So hold with, bear with me, folks.
Okay.
The scene when Saul's men go to Walt's storage facility, and they're walking in there, and they open it up, and they have that whole scene with the money. If they trust the audience to understand what's going on, I think a lot of those shows on more network TV, they will spell things out. One of my least favorite moments I've ever seen in any television show ever was CSI Miami. And it was the only reason I was watching because there's a guest star that I particularly love, Ben Browder of Farscape. If you haven't watched, watch it. But there's a scene when they're clearing things off, and they say, and this is to the audience, now that we've cleared off this whole floor, we can get good chemical residue or something to that effect. It was spelling it out for the audience. Breaking Bad trusts the audience enough to understand that these guys are going there for money to get them for Walt. That Walt saying, I screwed up, we know why he screwed up. We saw it happen. I like that they don't spell it out for us.
Because, now, because at the end of last cycle, I kind of rationalized it to myself. So how did he screw up, and why did he screw up? Because you're the one who actually talked me into it. After I spoke with you after lunch, I said, you know what, Adam?
Yes.
I'll buy that.
Yes, it was the hubris moment when he held on to the Walt Whitman book that Gail gave him. So, you know, a lot of this series goes back to Walt's sense of hubris and Walt's sense of entitlement and Walt's feeling that the world should know of Walter White, of Heisenberg. And in that moment, you know, he has this book, and he knows better that he should throw this out. That is the last thing he should. He's been so careful, but the reason he holds on to this book is it's because it's from someone who honored him and loved him for his work as a chemist. He saw that book as evidence that he was appreciated, and that he, and not even that, but also he had power over someone and life and death, and that he had to kill Gail. But he also, I mean, don't forget, he also appreciated Gail. So I think the reason why he held on to this is it's not so much a trophy of a victory, which I think I might have said when we spoke, but in looking at it now, I feel like it was evidence that he was seen as the great man he sees himself to be.
Now, did he need to have it on the toilet, though?
He's an idiot.
when you said it, it made sense, but, you know, two episodes into this cycle, I think to myself, why didn't he just have it in his nightstand or something and underneath the underwear, and he could pull it out? I'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, this guy, he appreciated me. It's the only time that anyone's ever appreciated me, and I have proof because it's written down. Or rip out the page and put the page in a safe or something.
And I think a lot, again, and this is something we talked about in this instance, is that he saw himself as untouchable. When he made the decision to keep to it, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was not long after Gus Bring was killed, I'm blanking on this, but...
Well, it's the season after.
It's the season after, so... A lot. It all comes back to at the point where he is untouchable. So I can have this, you know, this evidence of my victory and this murder and all the things I've done because I am the King Poobah. Nothing can destroy me now. It's the same sort of thing of like a guy cheating on his girlfriend and keeping the girl's underwear or that girl's text. And knowing I shouldn't have this, if I get caught, I'm screwed. But I'm so good, I'm just going to keep this text.
See, kids, this is what he did to me last year. This is what Adam Lance Garcia did to me last year. And I'm kind of buying it now. Because the poster for last season was All Hail to the King. So yes. If you're the king, you don't need to hide a book.
Exactly.
All right, so you've brainwashed me now. I may disagree with you next week.
That's fine. I'll convince you again. I have a fucking voice. I think but I think also, one thing that we need to talk about, and we haven't really talked about it now, because it bookends the episode, it's Jesse. So one thing that we were talking about earlier is the fact that you know, the story, we really haven't spoken about it because it only bookends the episode. It's Jesse. And Jesse, you know, we start the episode with the camera pivoting around Jesse as he spins the little wheel thing, which I forget what it's called. The whole show is pivoting around Jesse at this point. You know, there was another very interesting article I read about the episode where we all know what everyone wants at this point. We know what Hank wants. He wants to get Walt. We know what Skyler wants. He wants to protect Walt. We know what Walt wants. He wants to make sure he has money for his family. We know what Marie wants, that she wants to get Walt. And we know what everyone wants. The big question now is, what does Jesse want? And I think at this point, it's all what happens in the next few episodes, and especially the next episode, because the way this show runs, who knows, anything can change in an episode. Everything pivots on what Jesse says to Hank, and what does Jesse want. Arguably speaking, I think that Jesse will work with Hank. We've seen Jesse work against Walt before, and we know that Jesse is terrified and angry at Walt for everything he's done. I think that we're going to see some retribution. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk, and maybe a little too much talk, about the fact that Vince Gilligan wanted to initially have Jesse get killed off. And it might have been, you know, obviously he was rescued by the writer's strike. And whether that was 100% true or maybe partially true, it allows the show to have a character that really remains the series' heart. You know, as I mentioned before, the show has shifted from Walt being the protagonist to the antagonist. Hank is arguably the protagonist, at least in part. But Jesse has grown as a character from this idiot child that you really don't kind of like when you first meet him, because he's so stupid. He does so many stupid things. And he's grown to be the moral compass of the show. He's done a lot of terrible things, but he's fighting against his own nature. When he kills Gail, it breaks him. You know, when he does all the things that he does, and he questions every decision he makes, every terrible decision he makes, he's actively questioning in a way that Walt never does. So I think that, you know, in the next few episodes, I really think Jesse is going to play a pivotal part, and let's be honest, he's played a pivotal part in Walt's evolution throughout the series. I think Jesse's going to play a very, very pivotal part in Walter's demise. There are people who theorize that Walter's going to kill him. I don't see that happening, even though there's this whole idea that Walter somehow consumes traits of people that are around him. I feel that Jesse falls under the family.
Ooh, okay.
In his mind, I see that, I mean, again, and I will more than likely be proven wrong in some aspect, but the way it's played out, how protective Walt has been of Jesse, I don't think he would kill him, but I wouldn't put it past Jesse to turn on Walter, because, you know, let's be honest, Walter has lost all of our empathy and all of our sympathy.
Okay, so we're going to close this up now. Let's go 5 more minutes. And for those that don't know Adam Lance Garcia, it's tough for me and him to talk within a 30 to 40 minute window.
Yes.
But we're going to come close, because right now I think we're around 40-ish. Noel Walt Jr.,
yeah. That was surprising. I was thinking about that, like, of the many topics I was thinking when we could talk about, like, where the hell is this kid?
The one time, because usually, well, earlier in the, you know, in the early seasons of Breaking Bad, I was like, all right, here's Walt Jr. again. And this was one of the few times where I wanted to see Walt Jr.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I was gonna feel like, how do I put this? I really feel like we lost something out of having him there. I mean, at least have him have breakfast. I want to see him eating breakfast at some point.
Right. Well, because the thing is, Walt goes over Hank's. They both leave. Hank meets Skyler. Then Hank and Marie go to Skyler. So I'm assuming that this takes place when Walt Jr. is at school. Walt comes back late at night. I'm assuming Walt Jr. is either out with his friends or sleeping. So I could rationalize it away, but I really wanted to see how Walt Jr. or Flynn, what will he be called? Who knows how he plays into all of this?
I also kind of feel like one thing, this is a little bit of a non sequitur, but it just popped into my mind. One thing that this show has done very, very well is when you're watching it for the first time, you're always on the edge of your seat. Even the most quiet moments are filled with so much tension that I honestly, at every point as I was watching this episode, I was expecting someone to get shot. I was actively expecting Skyler. I was actively expecting Skyler to shoot Hank. I was expecting someone to get shot. So it's actually very interesting that the one time there's a huge shootout, it happens muffled and off camera. And it doesn't faze you at all. It's just like, it's surprising, but there's so many conversations and so many moments you're just expecting someone. It's so tense, it's so emotionally high that you expect someone to pull out the gun, because there's no place else you can go after you bring out a gun. And that gets you to that level of anticipation. Mm-hmm. And it's just a lot to the strength of the show and the strength of the writers that they get you that tense and they can push it further without going violent.
Right. So, no Walt Jr. What about Hank's rehab? Will that ever be brought up? Who paid for Hank's rehab?
Or we just
assume, like, you know, Hank knows this and knows that, and he's furious, and that's just another thing on top of the pile.
I think it's on top of the pile. I think he's aware of it. I think that Marie sort of touched upon that a little bit. I also think that it'll be something that, like, so the show is very, very, very good at establishing, like, using elements from throughout the series and having a payoff later. And the fact that Hank was watching that old that video of Walt and Jesse steal the canister again, having that add a new resonance. So I wouldn't be surprised if at some point someone says, you know, like, so he paid for all your, you know, you accepted illegal money. And I mean, that's also the point where he said, you know, I'm going to lose my job because of this. It is because of that.
Right.
He knows.
Yeah. Even if they don't explicitly bring it up, I'm like, okay, it's kind of part of that whole bundle there.
Exactly.
Of him losing his career, him saying it's over for me. One small little nugget for all of you Office fans out there. Adam, do you watch The Office?
I do, and I did quote it.
Wait, you do quote it?
I just did. I thought that was what you're referring to. Like, you can't get any higher than more intense than a gun is paraphrasing Michael Scott.
Oh, see, I didn't even catch that.
Boom, look at that. Sorry, but yes, what are you going to say?
So you are a fan of The Office.
I am, very much so.
My observation is that on the last season of The Office, Badger appears. I don't know the name of the actor, but he's one of Dwight Schrute's friends. Saul appears in the final season of The Office. He kind of plays the bizarro world Michael Scott. And then the interrogators at the end, did you notice one of those guys?
I didn't.
He was a reoccurring character on The Office. He wasn't on a lot, but it was Jim Halpert's brother.
Well, that's crazy. The connections I saw actually were a lot of Friday Night Lights. I mean, obviously Jesse Plemons, and I'm blanking on the guy with the mustache. But he was in the wheelchair. He played like a minor role in Friday Night Lights. Also on another great show, he plays. Why am I blanking on his name? He played a secondary character on Justified for a very long time. So I like to think that Breaking Bad, Friday Night Lights, The Office, and Justified all exist in the same universe. but I would like to think that.
Right. But it's, I always, because The Office was one of my favorite comedies of the last 10 years, and Breaking Bad, one of my favorite TV shows of all time, and whenever, you know, they share actors, I think.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I dig that.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I dig it quite a bit.
All right, so let's close up shop here. Thoughts on next week's episode? I said it last week, and I'll say it again this week. I don't even know what's going to happen. The only thing that popped into my head is when I saw Todd's uncle, I just thought to myself, he is a classic villain, so how will the Breaking Bad writing crew deal with this classic villain? Because this show is so innovative and clever and creative, do they treat him like a classic villain? I don't know.
I mean, they do a really good job of sprinkling in small minor characters that become bigger characters. Lydia's a good example of that.
Mike the Cleaner? Mike the Cleaner wasn't even supposed to be in Breaking Bad.
Exactly. So it's definitely one of the things that it could be something big. But if you want to give, if I can give you my prediction for how the series will end.
No.
I believe it.
I don't want you to give.
Because
you might get it right, and then you might spoil it for
everyone. I could, but, you know, I could be spoiled, so I think this will be a moment. No.
Wait, also, everyone, this could be a spoiler. This could be a spoiler, so if you don't want to listen, turn off the podcast. Turn it off right now.
Spoiler alert right now. I think that Jesse will end up in an insane asylum. Skyler will be eaten by a bear. Hank will have a bomb attached to his head. And Walter will choke to death on a toothbrush. At least that's according to the dream I had last night.
You really had that dream?
I seriously had that dream.
All right. All right, well,
there you go.
Adam,
spoilers are over.
Beautiful. So thank you for joining us tonight. And
my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We went over 30 minutes, we went over 40 minutes, but we did go under 50 minutes, and that is an accomplishment. So for Adam Lance Garcia, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see yins later.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.